And now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Roma Wines present Suspense.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Mr. Kirk Douglas in Community Property, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, as Roma Wines bring you Kirk Douglas, the young American actor who made such an auspicious screen debut in The Strange Love of Martha Ivers. Mr. Douglas appears as George Mason, with Kathy Lewis as his wife Lois, in Community Property. Tonight's tale of Suspense.
You sure manage to look sloppy in the mornings, don't you?
Thanks. Coffee?
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have qualified it. You look sloppy most of the times nowadays.
Why should I waste my time looking glamorous for you?
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just your husband. I just pay the bills. That's all I do.
What bills? I should look like one of the 10 best women of the year on what I can squeeze out of you, I suppose.
I'm not talking about clothes. You could get your hair out of your face and put on a little lipstick for a change.
Sure. Get up 3 hours early and go to the beauty parlor. Offer the privilege of making your breakfast and listening to your sour cracks.
What's the matter with you? Didn't you sleep well?
What do you care?
I thought maybe you'd been lying awake nights again, wondering how you're going to spend your share of Uncle Bert's $50,000.
I never lie awake nights wondering how to spend any money that you ever got your hands on first.
Well, you got something there. I've got better use for that money than letting it go into freak hats and imitation furs.
Well, then stop harping about it. I don't care about the money. I don't want to see the money. I don't want to hear about the money.
What do you call this, coffee?
That's what it says on the can.
Yeah, you could even make stuff out of a can taste rotten.
Look, if you don't like it, go get your breakfast at Schwab's drugstore. It's no pleasure for me.
Well, I would if I could afford it. You know, you're not kidding me any, Lois.
Kidding you? I've stopped even trying to communicate with you.
That doesn't prevent you trying to make my life as miserable as possible, though, does it?
Your life. What kind of a life do you think I've had this past year? I can't even remember the last time I had a civil conversation with you. And as for anything else, I'm nothing more than a housekeeper around here, a housekeeper that doesn't get paid.
Yeah, it's tough. Sometimes I wonder how you stand it.
So do I.
But I know why, all right.
Oh, you know everything.
I told you you weren't kidding me. As long as you think I'm going to get that inheritance from Uncle Bert, you'll stick to me like a leech, won't you?
I told you I don't care about the money, and I don't want to hear about the money. Heard enough about it. Even if your uncle is fool enough to leave it to you, which I doubt.
Oh, sure, you don't care about the money. Not much.
All I care about is having a decent life. Hmm. I've about come to the conclusion it's impossible for you to be decent to anybody.
Well, if it's as bad as all that, why don't you get a divorce?
Well, maybe I should. Maybe it's time we talk divorce, George. Maybe it's just high time.
Well, what's stopping you?
Sometimes I wonder.
Well, I don't. You'll never get a divorce as long as you think I might inherit $50,000.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought about it. I've thought about it plenty.
Then why don't you do something about it?
Because I know you're too cheap to pay alimony and the lawyer's fees. That's why.
Is that honestly all that's worrying you?
Oh, I'm certainly not worried by any illusions I might ever have had about you.
All right. I'll pay the lawyer's fees in advance and any reasonable alimony you can get a judge to grant you.
Do you mean that, George?
I never meant anything more in my life.
Brother, you've got yourself a divorce.
I tried to register shock and righteous indignation, but I could hardly keep my face straight. Lois was going to get a divorce. I'd been working on it for a year, ever since I'd realized that Uncle Bert was going to die and I was going to inherit his estate. Ever since I'd realized that under the community property laws of California, Lois would get half of it. Half of $50,000, I figured. Maybe even more. $50,000. I wasn't going to share that with Lois or anybody else. For a year, I'd been nagging her and insulting her and even knocking her around a little, but it was no use. She just turned sullen and took it. And so I'd just about given up thinking about divorce. I'd begun to think about something else for Lois. I'd begun to think about murder. Now Lois is going to give me a divorce, at last. And Uncle Bert's $50,000 would be mine, as long as she started proceedings before I inherited. And knowing Lois, I figure now that she finally decided, she'd probably go to work on it that very afternoon. When I drove out to Uncle Bert's later in the day, I was feeling like a kid just out of school. It was one of my regular visits, and I never missed. 3 or 4 times a week. That was a bore and a pain. But I'm a guy that can put up with $50,000 worth of almost anything.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mason.
Oh, hi, Judson. How's the old boy feeling this afternoon?
Not too well, I'm afraid, sir.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry to hear that. One of his bad days, eh?
Rather difficult, yes, sir.
Well, do you suppose it's all right for me to see him?
Oh, yes, sir. It's nothing that serious, I should say. He's called for his lawyer, Mr. Bernard, and for Dr. Thorpe. I should imagine he'd be quite able to see you as well.
Yes. Yes, what is it?
Your nephew, Mr. Mason, is here to see you, sir.
All right, show him in.
Hello, Uncle Bert. How are you feeling?
Oh, not well, my boy. Not well. Not well at all. Well, go on, Judson. Close the door. Go about your business.
Yes, sir.
Judson was saying you've had sort of a bad day.
Yes, I'm completely bedridden now, as you see. I'm afraid the end is not far off, my boy.
Oh, don't be silly, Uncle Bird. You'll live to be 100.
No. I've called Dr. Thorpe.
Oh, you can't scare me. Well, you call Dr. Thorpe every other day.
I tell you, I'm sick. I'm dying. Are you going to sit there and argue with me?
Oh, well, no, Uncle Bird, but gee, I hadn't realized it was that serious.
Well, it's most serious. I'm glad you came today. I'd have called you if you hadn't.
Oh, I understand your lawyer is coming over here.
Oh, yes. I wish to be absolutely certain that my affairs are all in order before the end.
Gee, Uncle Bert, well, gosh, it's hard to believe that anything could happen like that, I mean.
Ah, my boy. There's no disputing with the Grim Reaper when your time comes. Oh, pull your chair a little closer.
Sure.
That's it. George, you have always been a good nephew to me. Of course, I know you're always thinking of the money.
Oh,
but that's only natural.
Oh,
I don't care.
Uncle Bert, now that's not fair.
You're a liar, George. But you're a good liar. And that's a comfort to an old man. Of course, I don't know what you're like in daily life. I've been ill so long.
Just average, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't think so. Now, I imagine you're mean and greedy and thoroughly dishonest when it's safe to be, as I was. Well, it runs in the family. It's only natural, too.
You make me sound like a pretty bad guy, Uncle Bert.
Only true to human nature, George, with a little dash of Mason family thrown in. Yes, you've always been a good nephew to me, George. Even though you may have been a hypocrite about it. And that's all anyone has a right to expect at my age. You won't have any reason to regret it.
Well, I wish you wouldn't talk that way, Uncle Bert.
What way?
Well, about the money and things like that.
Don't you want to hear about it?
Well, have I ever asked you about it?
No, you haven't, George. You've been very clever about that. But you may as well know now.
Well,
as my will stands now, my estate will be divided into two parts.
Oh.
Yes. One half of my estate will go as an endowment to my old school, Weymouth College.
Half?
Yes. Come in.
Well, hello, Mr. Mason. How are we today?
Old man's handing out bad news today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your case, I'm afraid you're about to lose a steady source of income, Doctor.
Oh? Meaning
me. Yes, I'm afraid you're going to have to find some other victim to pay your office rent very soon now.
Well.
Yeah, you know my nephew, Costa.
Sure. Hi, Doc.
Hello, George. Oh, by the way, George, here. Here's a prescription your wife asked me to write out for her. You might have it filled on your way home if you have the time.
Sure, thanks.
Yes, bad news all around. Now, George here, I've just informed him that I'm leaving half my money to my old school. He looks mighty disappointed, doesn't he?
Oh, now, Uncle Bert, well, it's your money. Why should I be sore?
Now, big pulse, please, Mr. Mason.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course, I haven't told him all of it yet. You want to hear the rest, George, huh?
Well, whatever you say, Uncle Bert.
Really, Mr. Mason, you shouldn't be talking too much. Your condition's not as good today as it might be.
Oh, I know that. But as I was saying... Oh. What was I saying? Oh, yes, a will. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving you fairly well provided for, George. Enough to give you a little start in life, anyway.
Now, take it easy, Uncle Bert. It's you I care about, not the money.
You're an accomplished liar, George. That's the only word for it. But you can relax again. The other half is going to you.
Well, you know you didn't have to do that, Uncle Bert. Well, not that I don't appreciate it, but...
I think it will help with it, for George. You'll be able to use $500,000, George.
What'd you say?
Really, Mr. Mason, I must forbid you to get excited now. Your condition...
Didn't you hear me, George? I said five...
But Uncle Bert!
Mr. Mason!
Uncle Bert! Uncle Bert, listen to me.
I'm afraid he's gone.
Tell me what you said.
For heaven's sake, man, have a little decency, can't you? He's dead.
He can't be. It's some kind of a gag. Did you hear it? $500,000.
Oh, come in.
Mr. Bernard is here to see.
I'm afraid you're too late, Bernie.
Oh, Bernie, you drew up the will, you know.
Oh, hello,
George. Bernie, he said $500,000.
You mean your inheritance? That's roughly what it comes to.
Wow, $500,000.
And permit me to be the first to congratulate you, George, on bearing up so well under your bereavement, that is.
$500,000, and he never told me. Why, the rotten old liar. I left the house in a daze. I got in my car and started driving, just driving around. I don't know where I drove to. I just drove, and I must have spent that $500,000 500,000 different ways. But I wasn't in such a fog that I didn't do a little real thinking, too, about Lois. Because now if she got her divorce, she'd nick me for half that money anyway. And I wasn't having any of that. Not after what I'd been through. So it would have to be the other way. So I'd have to talk her out of the divorce, or it looked too much like a motive. But first, I wanted to be absolutely sure of everything. Then, on the way past the drug counter, I remembered the prescription Doc Thorpe had given me. I think I have the idea right then.
Yes, sir?
How long will it take you to fill this?
Well? Oh, that won't take any time.
Okay. Where's your phone?
Just to your left, sir.
Thanks. Bernie?
Yeah.
George Mason.
Why, hello, George. I'm afraid you can't have the money tonight, old boy, but come in first thing tomorrow.
Great kidder, aren't you? Listen, Bernie, I wanted to ask you something.
Anything you ask will be charged against you now, on, George.
Now, seriously, though, I met a friend of mine today, a Texas oil man, but he married out here, and, well, he's having a little trouble with his wife.
Send him around. I'll give him a discount.
Well, maybe I'll do that, but all he wants now is free advice. You see, he's worried about this community property law. Well, it seems he came into quite a hunk of dough out here lately, and...
Oh, coincidence department, huh?
Well, not exactly. This was, well, a deal, you know, real estate. Well, he wants to know if there's any way he can keep his wife from cutting in on it.
Oh, a heel, huh?
That's right.
Not a chance, my boy. Any property accumulated in the normal course of affairs after the marriage is community property. That's the law.
Yeah, that's what he was afraid of.
Now, listen, though, George. You want to know something cute? Had nothing to do with your friend.
Well, I gotta go, Bernie. I'm late. I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, but I'm trying to tell you.
Well,
something.
Save it till tomorrow, huh? Good night, Bernie. I was in no mood to listen to bright sayings. I had too much else to do. At the drug counter, I picked up the prescription. It was what I thought it was. Sedative, it said. She'd been taking stuff to make her sleep for quite a while now. At the next corner, I bought her the biggest box of candy I could find. Then I went home to kill her. Lois?
Is that you, George?
Yeah. You going to bed?
You're late.
Yeah, I... Well, I'll tell you about it.
You don't need to. It's nothing unusual.
I know it isn't, Lois, and... Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Oh, here's something I picked up for you.
What's this for?
Nothing. I just thought you might like it.
You must have wrecked the car or something.
No, but... Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking today, Lois.
So have I.
Well, you haven't done anything about that yet, have you? I mean, the divorce.
Not yet. I know you're in a big hurry, but tomorrow will be time enough, won't it?
Oh, now, listen, Lois. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of thinking today.
Well, it was quite a shock when you said that this morning.
When I said it?
Well, when it came up that way. Gosh, I got to thinking, well, I've been pretty rotten to you these last few months.
Oh.
Well, I don't know why, but I have, and I know it.
You haven't been exactly the ideal companion, George.
Well, it's as though something was driving me, making me do things and say things that I didn't mean and I didn't want to, and I couldn't help myself. Gosh, I don't know what it's been. Worry, trying to scrape along with everything going sky high and running into debt and thinking about the old man's money. I don't know what it's been, but I know it's been awful. For me, too. And I know it's been 10 times as bad for you.
I know, George, but everybody has those kinds of worries nowadays.
Well, I know, and, well, they don't take it out on somebody else the way I have, but when you talked about divorce, well, it made me realize... I love you, Morris. I don't know how I could ever get along without you.
Do you really mean that, George?
I never meant anything more in my life. Just give me another chance, Lois. I'll do anything. I'll go to a psychiatrist or something. I know it's been my fault, but I can change. If you will help me, I can change overnight. It'll be the way it used to be, huh?
Oh,
God, darling. I know. I've been a terrible hero.
No. I knew it wasn't really you. It hasn't been all your fault either.
There.
I've been sullen and nasty. But I had to do something just in self-defense, just to keep from going crazy. Because I love you so.
Oh, now, there, baby. It's going to be different now. I've learned my lesson, honestly.
George, I know it will if we try, if we both just try. We used to be so happy.
We're going to be happy again, too. You see, happier than ever.
No. You know, I think I'll really sleep tonight for the first time in months.
Good.
I've been so nervous lately, I've just been a wreck.
Oh, say, that reminds me. I ran into Doc Thorpe today, and he gave me a prescription of yours. I had it filled on the way home. Here.
Hmm? Oh, my sleeping pills. That's funny. You're thinking about that now, and I probably won't need them anymore.
You better take one anyway, just to be on the safe side, huh? Say, maybe I'll take one, too. Gee, it's been a pretty tough day.
All right. I guess tonight maybe I'm almost too happy to sleep. Would you warm up a little milk for me, doll, to take him with?
Well, sure, honey. I'll fix you right up.
Thanks, darling.
I went downstairs and started warming the milk. I'd had the stuff hidden away for a couple of months now. It was a narcotic that would have the same effects as a sleeping pill and show up the same way in an autopsy. I put some sugar and cinnamon in the milk to cover the taste and then dumped in enough of the stuff to kill a horse. Then I took it up to her.
Thanks, darling.
Yeah.
Huh. That's nice. What'd you put in it?
Oh, just sweeten it up a little. Sweet's still sweet. Oh, here's your pill.
Thank you. Oh. It tastes a little funny.
Oh.
It's nice, but it's kind of funny.
Yes, maybe I got the milk a little too hot, huh? It always tastes funny when it's boiled.
That's
a drink it all now. That's a good girl.
There.
That's the ticket. Feeling sleepy?
All of a sudden.
Well, now you lie down and let me tuck you in and you get a good sleep. And tomorrow, we'll start all over again.
Oh, yes. A new life.
That's right. Tomorrow, there'll be a brand new life. I took the glass downstairs and washed it out thoroughly and brought it back again half empty. I dumped about 3/4 of the sleeping pills down the drain and then tipped the bottle over on the bedside table to give things that reckless look and went to bed. You think that's pretty funny, I suppose. Lying down in the next bed to someone you know is dying or be dead before morning? Someone you just murdered? Well, maybe it is. But all I was thinking of was that $500,000 and spending it over and over another million different ways that I went off to sleep, and believe it or not, I slept like a baby. I woke up early feeling great, not knowing why for a minute, and then I remembered. I went over to look at Lois. She was lying just the way I'd left her. I put out my hand and touched her arm. That was all I needed to know. She was cold. Stone cold.
Dr. Dr. Thorpe's office.
Give me the doctor. Quick, quick.
He's calling, please.
What's the... George Mason, hurry, please.
Hello, George.
Oh, Doc, listen, you got to come right over here. Something's happened, something terrible.
What is it, George?
Lois, those pills you gave her. She's taken almost all of them. I can't get her to move.
Now, wait a minute, George, wait a minute. Are you sure there isn't some mistake?
Well, I know there isn't. She's cold.
You'd better call the police, George.
Police?
Yes. Yes, it's usual in such cases. I'll be over, but you'd better call the police.
In about half an hour, they arrived. Two plainclothes dicks and a man from the coroner's office. He and one of the dicks went in to look at Lois. And the other one stayed outside, talking to me.
I know it's a trying time for you, Mr. Mason.
I can't understand it. I can't understand it.
Had you and your wife had any quarrels?
No. Well, we had our little spats, but nothing more than any other married couple. Nothing to make her do a thing like that.
Had she been taking these sedatives long?
Well, the last few months... Gosh, I don't know exactly why. Well, she'd been nervous and upset. You know, she wasn't getting any younger, of course.
She took them on the advice of a physician. She was under a physician's care, I suppose.
Oh, yes, Dr. Alexander Thorpe. Well, he saw her regularly. But he never told me there was anything mental.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about it, Doc?
Narcotic poisoning. Pretty clear. That bottle was full. When she went to work on it, she took enough to kill her, all right.
Well, I got it filled for her only last night.
Well, I guess that's about all, Mr. Mason.
I'm Dr. Thorpe, the family physician. Oh, hello, John.
Hello, Alex. You know Lieutenant Farley?
How do you do, Lieutenant?
Hello, Doc.
Hello, George.
You want to see the,
I take it Mrs. Mason is dead?
Uh-huh. Narcotic poisoning. Your prescription, wasn't it, Alex?
Yes. Yes, so it was. But, I'm afraid there's some discrepancy here.
Discrepancy?
Yes. I had been prescribing sedatives for Mrs. Mason for some time. Lately, however, I reached the conclusion that her mental health was such that the possession of drugs in any quantity would be dangerous. My last prescription, therefore, contained no sedative of any kind.
What did it contain?
Nothing. Sugar and a neutral base.
Why?
If Mrs. Mason died of poisoning, the poison was administered to her in some other form.
You said, administered?
I did. From the evidence, I can reach no other conclusion.
Neither can I. Well, Mr. Mason?
Can I call my lawyer?
You're entitled to do that. And from where I sit, Bud, looks like you're going to need a good one.
That'd be a lesson to you, George. Before you commit a murder, always check with your attorney.
Great kidder, huh, Bernie?
Sure. If you'd only told me this on the phone yesterday instead of that cock and bull story about a friend from Texas, I could have saved you a lot of trouble.
How?
I tried to tell you. Money that you earn or make in business is community property. Money that you inherit is not.
What?
That 500 grand would have been all yours, George.
You see what I mean?
Next time, check with your attorney.
Check with your attorney. A great kidder. Now he says, don't worry. If he can get me off the gas chamber, I'll still have the worst years of my life ahead of me. How do you like that?
Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, Roma, America's favorite wines. This is Truman Bradley bringing back for a curtain call our suspense star of the evening, Kirk Douglas. Kirk, you know millions of our suspense listeners will remember you as Barbara Stanwyck's husband in The Strange Love of Martha Ivers. Well, seeing you play the part of a weak, neurotic man, they had never guessed you were a wrestling champion in college.
Well, Truman, you know, the difference isn't as great as you might think.
No?
You see, college wrestling was my first acting experience.
See, that's where I learned to portray suffering.
Well, since you were undefeated champion, Kirk, I imagine most of the suffering was done by your opponents. But you must have some other hobby besides wrestling, Kirk. After all, you can't be throwing your guests around the living room all the time, you know.
Well, my wife claims my favorite hobby is eating. I do have an awful sweet tooth. You know, when it comes to eating cake, I'm worse than a 10-year-old at a birthday party.
Say, speaking of birthday parties, Kirk, reminds me that your host of the evening, Roma Wines, has a gift for you. This hamper of Roma wines with the compliments of Roma, the greatest name in wine.
Well, thank you, Truman, and my compliments to Roma. Good night.
Kirk Douglas appeared through the courtesy of Hal Wallace Productions. Tonight's suspense play was written by Robert Richards from a story by Howard Leeds and Arthur Julian. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Mr. Lloyd Nolan as star of Suspense.
Produced and directed by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.